So
The total land involved, from what I saw, is just under 2 square kilometers, right? 1,700 square meters, something like that. And five structures that were all built, I believe, between 20 to 30 years ago, right?
that's right. Yep. The one of the homes was built in, I think, in 99, and the other was built in the early 2000s. So sort of one after the other. Yep.
Okay. And you've purchased it thinking to do with it what? Because that's a bit more than a holiday home or single family home, isn't it?
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, we've recently been contacted by a longtime listener of the podcast who's also attended some of our summit events, both online and in person. And he's got a very interesting property that they'd like to sell, and he'll explain why they're selling in this conversation that you'll hear in a moment. He was wondering if any of our listeners would be interested in it, and we're more than happy to try and help him out with it, since this is similar to the Nagano Onsen we've recently covered here with Matt Ketchum. It's the kind of property that really lends itself to anyone looking to set up either a hospitality business, corporate or artist retreat type operation, anything more creative, whether for pure income or as part of a business manager visa application. However, unlike the much larger and robust Nagano property, this one is cheaper, more compact, although it still comes with five structures, including 2 single-family homes, one of which is an American-style country house that was actually imported here from the US, as well as a fully operational cafe and restaurant. It's also far more central and accessible, located in Chiba Prefecture near a golf course and the world-famous Olympic surfing spot, Ichinomiya Beach. It does not require the kind of TLC that the Nagano Hotel Complex does. It's literally ready to go, barring the application for short-term stay license, if one is required, which has already been researched and confirmed as feasible. It also has onsen-style bathrooms, although as opposed to the Nagano property, it's not on actual natural hot spring water supply, but rather well water, and also with communal spaces that lend themselves to, again, a corporate or artist retreat setup, staff quarters or event spaces, and a hormetic therapy room, which, if you're ignorant like I was, is a specialized wellness spa or clinical room designed to expose the body to safe low-level stressors like trace radiation from radon gas, extreme heat or cold. Hermosis room is quite popular in health and wellness circles, apparently, and costs about 5 million yen to set up if you were to set it up independently. The property also has a large basement storage area, which again would be very interesting for those potential commercial uses. And even more interestingly, the seller is actually willing to consider an owner financing arrangement for the right buyer. And they will let them pay for the property via monthly installments at an interest rate of about 6% and up to 15 years. So
Very interesting property. Once more, if you are tuning in via the podcast, you might want to click on the video version in this episode show notes instead, where we'll also showcase some of the photos and other info we have on it. But in the show notes, we'll also have the full write-up and listing summarizing everything you're about to hear. So have a listen to our conversation with Rob, the seller, and I'll see you again on the other side. Okay, so Rob, I know your face. I haven't met Chica yet. This is the first time I'm seeing her. So you're a regular attendee at our summits, right? I've seen you a couple of times there already.
Yeah, we went to the last summit, and we actually had a call probably a year ago with you, but it was quite a while ago before all this transpired. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And when you say transpired, you've contacted us because you're interested in selling a property, a beautiful property. I'll splice in photos and videos when we publish this, down in Chiba Prefecture, right? Near the beach?
Yes. It's in Ichinomiya, and that's a beach where the Olympics surfing competition were held. So it's a very famous beach. And we purchased this property from a friend of ours who happened to run a cafe out of one of the houses. It's actually two homes side by side on separate lots, but side by side that they built together. Our friend lived in one, ran her cafe out of one, and her mother lived in the other one. Due to some circumstances with her mother, they had to actually leave and move near a hospital in a different part of Chiba. So it sat vacant for a couple of years, and we kept in touch with her. She's a dear friend of ours, and the cafe was very, very popular, actually. And we loved the properties very much. And she, when she started talking about selling them, we said, "Well, hold on, don't just sell them. Let us know." And so she did, and we were able to acquire them through working with her over a period of time, and have since done a lot of work on the properties. So it's a bit of a labor of love. So we put a lot of time and effort into remodeling.
To interrupt. You're saying two houses, but I've noticed some hospitality style cabins on the same lots as well, right? It looks like three or four structures.
That's right. There's actually five structures total.
Five structures. Okay.
Two single family homes. One of the single family homes, the main home that she ran the cafe, is a American style home. It was a kit home that she shipped from the U.S. and built. So it's very much like a coastal home from the U.S. The second single family home is a log cabin, what they call a log home in Japan, that her mother lived in. And it's very, I say rustic, it feels rustic, but it's a very modern home, modern kitchen, modern bathrooms with an onsen style bathroom. And
I've seen like one of the bathrooms there, probably the one you're referring to, looks like two baths side to side, like an actual onsen resort.
That's right. Yeah, there's one of the two baths is a hot bath and the other one's a cold bath.
So that's what I was assuming. Okay, that's very cool. Yeah.
And there's also a sauna in the bathroom. So they actually put a sauna in there. So it's two bathtubs and a sauna. It's not an onsen in the sense that it's not a springs-fed bathtub.
Oh, so not on natural onsen water, just a setup that feels like it.
That feels like it, and the bathtubs, obviously, soaking tubs, very large soaking tubs, both of them.
Yep.
So, yeah, it feels that like an onsen, but it's not spring-fed. And the three outbuildings, so there's two larger buildings that are essentially like sheds. So they were used as hobby rooms. They're air conditioned and, have power with air conditioning, but there's no water to those buildings. They're just basically rooms, almost like a little efficiency type rooms, two of them that are kind of conducive to having bunk beds, that kind of a sleeping arrangement.
And then, communal space. I'm sorry, I'm always thinking with these kinds of properties, right. a lot of the people who buy them, especially through us, buy them for corporate retreat purposes. So when you're describing that, I'm feeling workshop, communal space, that kind of area.
Communal space or sleeping quarters, and air conditioned space. So they're perfectly comfortable, almost one room suites, you could say. Mm. And then the third building is a small shed type building. So it's more of a storage kind of shed. And then as well as on one of the single family homes, there's a basement storage area, so a very large storage area. It's not conducive to living, but it's a basement storage where there's a lot of tools down there and things like that. So lots
so
of
the storage. the total land involved, from what I saw, is just under 2 square kilometers, right? 1,700 square meters, something like that. And 5 structures that were all built, I believe, between 20 to 30 years ago, right?
That's right. Yep. One of the homes was built in, I think, in 99, and the other was built in the early 2000s. So sort of one after the other. Yep.
Okay. And you've purchased it thinking to do with it what? Because that's a bit more than a holiday home or single family home, isn't it?
Yeah. Our kind of initial thought was to do almost a corporate rental. And because in this area, with the surfing environment and sort of sports environment, there's a golf course very nearby the property and some other recreation. It's very suitable to sports teams or other types of type of rentals that way. There are Airbnb type short-term rentals in the area, but not many that are conducive to provide housing for a lot of
large people. Groups.
Large groups. And with the cafe type floor that there is in one of the homes, it's really conducive to having, you know, a good eating arrangement as well as potential AV space. We've spent a lot of time providing a Wi-Fi service throughout the entire grounds. So it's really conducive to having, you know, conference calls or even just Wi-Fi, you know, networking on that floor as well as throughout the grounds. So
the plan was, because you're resident in the U.S. at the moment, right? So the plan was to turn it into hospitality retreats kind of property and then run it remotely.
Corporate rental, yeah, running it remotely. We kind of have it positioned that way now. We've done preliminary investigation on the likelihood of having licensing for Minpaku, and it is very likely because there are others in the area to be licensed. So it's kind of well positioned to do that. We have since we did the reform work and completed it all, we have since purchased a different property in Tokyo that we have as our own vacation home. And due to that, we want to kind of focus on that area. And so we're looking to sell this property and reinvest the funds into Tokyo.
Can I ask what changed your mind? Because that's a pretty sharp pivot, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the thing was it came to us as a convenient property to acquire, and so we did.
Yeah,
and we've done almost like wholesale deals in the U.S. Several times. We have several decades of real estate experience here, and so the idea of taking, you know, a couple of years to spend time on this property and building a business and you know, getting property management and all of that in an area where we probably won't be living was probably not ideal. So we decided to, you know, see if we could sell it and like I said, reinvest the funds into potentially multifamily, where we'll
Okay.
be living in Tokyo, off and on.
So I guess from your perspective, it's kind of a flip, isn't it? You've purchased it, you've spruced it up a little bit, you've put in place the infrastructures to enable people to use it as a hospitality property of some or rental space of some sort, and now you're flipping it, hopefully for a profit, or is that close to what you bought it for?
Yeah, in a sense, it's we're not really making a whole lot of profit. It was really to help our friend in a way. She, you
Yeah.
know, as I mentioned, her mother needed some help, and so we having the experience we had, thought it would be a good investment for us and as well as helping her out. So that's what we did, and you know, we're also inclined to, if it doesn't sell, you know, getting it rented because it's still, you know, obviously a strong asset that
Yep.
would cash flow well. But again, buying the house that we purchased in Tokyo, it just makes a little more sense logistically for us to start to center our projects around the area where we have the vacation
Got it.
home, as opposed to Chiba, where it's a little bit of ways away from there.
I've seen it. You've listed it with a Japanese agency, but I've also seen it on AkiaMart. I'm just wondering, because the AkiaMart boys are avid surfers, were they not interested in maybe turning this into a surfer base or anything like that?
Yeah, we haven't actually talked to them directly about it. We have talked to Shu Matsuo Post earlier on, and he did a blog about it, which is
Akia Hub, yeah, I've seen that blog. Yeah.
Hub a few months ago, I'm sorry. So you know, it's not a up their alley per se, because it's not sort of like the bottom of the
Yeah, they
market.
like projects. They like something that can be bought at a bargain. But I mean, the price is quite attractive. I think it's listed for what, 49 million yen or something like that?
That's right. For two homes, as one asset, it's a kind of an interesting property for someone who's inclined to either live in one or rent the other, rent them both out as a sports complex or whatever, you know, like we
Mm.
talked about. There's a whole lot of possibilities with the flexibility of the property. You know, like I said, I think for us, as we've gone through the reform and, you know, positioned it well, I think it's ready for the next owner to kind of take to the next level and do, as somebody who's really interested in running a business, whether it's short term or what have you, and picking it up. It's
Or
kind of,
even a company purchasing it directly as a sort of a vessel for their own employees and clients and whatnot. Yeah.
that's
So
right.
when you say positioned it, yeah, have you actually been running it as a business, or do you just mean the preparation of the property itself?
The preparation, I mean, it's rent ready, Wi-Fi throughout.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of work to, it's a well property, so it's on it is natural water, a well. So we've rebuilt the well, that kind of thing. So it's
Okay, so
basically,
there's no city water supply going there.
that's right, it's well water.
I see.
And the reason that it's a little bit unique is that both properties feed off the same well and the same septic. So it's not such that without some work it couldn't be sold separately. It's
Yeah.
really an asset where both homes are together as a sale, and that's why it's priced kind of affordably to make it a you know, conducive to that
Got it.
arrangement.
In our experience with wells, they can sometimes dry out, or the water quality can suddenly deteriorate for whatever geothermal reason or whatnot. Have you checked whether it would be easily connectable to city water supply?
I don't believe we checked on that, but because we just had it rebuilt and
Yep.
re-drilled, it's pretty much ready for, you know, the next several years. We wouldn't expect any
And
issues.
you've done the quality checks on the water. They are drinkable and bathable.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And the properties, again, they're between 20 to 30 years of age, meaning for example, we had a beautiful onsen resort that we were talking about a few episodes ago with Matt. That's a project that would need some work. The purchase price is similar, a little bit higher than yours, but you would need to at least double or triple that to get that property up and running in any serviceable capacity. It's also a lot bigger. So yours is smaller, more compact. We're not talking 30 rooms. We're talking maybe a dozen guests or so, and it's ready to go. This is a turnkey kind of project aside from the licensing, isn't it?
Turnkey. There would be some landscaping work that would need to be done. We kind of focus on the houses, on the reform. So the houses are essentially, you know, ready to go, very much ready to go.
With 2 kilometers of land, there's always going to be landscaping work.
There is going to be that. You know, most people who understand that environment know that the weeds and the, you know, that kind of thing, it's especially in the summer, they grow. So we've been taking care of it, but it's that needs to be, you know, continuously handled. So
right. And what else, aside from the surfing, what else can you tell people about the environment? What's out there in Ichinomiya?
So I mentioned the golf. There's a country club adjacent, almost adjacent to the property. And there's also a couple of lakes that are just down the road. So there's sort of the fishing, hiking, that kind of thing. And then obviously the beaches, it's world famous beaches. So you've got that as well as restaurants, cafes, coffee shops, and all of that, that are all typically around your popular beaches. So lots of restaurants, I wouldn't say lots, but some restaurants. I wouldn't call it country Chiba, but it's outskirts of Chiba. So it's not, you know, a nightlife, but if you're looking for beaches and recreation and hiking and mountains and,
Well, it's already a domestic tourist destination, isn't it? It's maybe not as well known to international visitors, but it's very well known for domestic tourists, isn't it?
It is. And it's a little bit, as far as the population, a little higher end. So it's not your typical country, you know, lower class type houses. It's actually with the country club and some of the recreation around there. It's a very nice area. So, yeah.
And transportation wise, I think it's about an hour from Tokyo Station, about an hour and a half to Narita Airport. Is that right?
That's right. Yep. Hour from Tokyo Station. It's direct from Tokyo Station. It's about 10-minute drive from the nearest train station. The properties are kind of up on a hill, so it's a little bit feels away from everything, but still 10 minutes from the station, 10 minutes from the beaches, that kind of thing.
Okay, so 10-minute drive to the station, 10-minute drive or walk to
drive,
the beach?
Drive to drive. The beach. Okay. Not really conducive to walking. Typically be, you know, driving around.
Yeah, I'm seeing minibuses coming in and out with the groups, I'm assuming. Yeah. Okay. There are, for Airbnb, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, there are home improvement shops around there. You're lots of shopping, so there's almost everything you could want in the area within, call it, 10 minutes.
Okay. And do you know if the area is popular with holidaymakers? Is it just during spring, summer? Is it year round? Is there anything to do there during the winter as well?
I wonder if summer is kind of the peak season, surfing season. But there's, you know, it's a steady population year round. And there's always activities and, like I said, cafes and restaurants that are available.
Okay, fantastic. And what's your timeline? When are you hoping to sell it by?
We're able to sell it anytime. The work has been completed. It's been on the market, I guess, a couple of months now. We with the agent we have it listed with, We're also with our sort of expertise able to offer seller financing, which is not something.
That's a very important point. So you could enter a contract with a buyer, whereas they pay you a certain amount every month or every year until they own the property free and clear, right?
That's right, with a down payment. It's not typical in Japan, but it is doable. And we have Scriveners that can assist with that. And, you know, it'll take a little bit of time to process that, but it's very legal and very doable. So,
okay. So that's about 50 million yen. And what sort of, if it is going to be a seller financing situation, what sort of down payment would you want for it?
Probably like 30-35% down. Okay. And the rest financeable with terms that would be negotiated. Obviously would be a little bit higher than you would get from the bank, traditional institutional banks, but an option for somebody who maybe couldn't get traditional lending. So, yeah.
Well, for wooden houses that are over 20 years old, it's not that easy to get traditional financing. Definitely not if you're not a resident of Japan, forget about it. So could be a very attractive option for some. Okay. I know a few, but I'm not sure if they cover this area. Have you been in touch with any short-term stay property management companies, or were you planning to have staff on site?
We have been in touch with Tracy. We've consulted with her, as well as somebody she referred to us in the Chiba area. We met with them, and they were interested in potentially doing the property management for the short term. We personally don't do that type of a business. We're more of a long-term play. So we've looked into multiple property management, including one that you referred to us. We were talking to at the time. So there's property management available as well as local realtors in that area. It is a popular area, so it's not like not your countryside kind of typical place like that. So
we do have operators who can just step in and handle everything: booking, advertising, cleaning, check-ins, check-out. They're already in place and waiting to go. So it really is a turnkey project, I guess, isn't it?
It is, and it's, I think, feasible for, like I said, different types of operations. So we were looking for a monthly, like it's a corporate rental, but again, long-term for both properties. If someone wanted to stay in one as a vacation home and rent the other and have it sort of pay for itself, as it were, that's feasible, as well as the corporate rental angle, or Minpaku short-term stay as well. So
or a sublease arrangement, somebody buys it and then rents it out to hospitality operators or restaurant or cafe or whatever people want to run there.
And with the seller financing, we're, you know, I think that's very possible that somebody could sublet it and do a triage kind of an approach.
I like this. It's very, I like both the potential and the location and the fact that it's very turnkey. It's literally apply for the license, which should be feasible in that location, and off you go.
Yeah. And there's some things that need to be looked at for that, you know, in terms of the requirements of Minpaku.
Fire and safety compliance and so forth. That's always the case, though. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay, good stuff. So we are going to list it and hopefully share it with a lot of people, and we'll see what we can do. It's exciting. I'm waiting to spend the night there when it opens up.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all's help and look forward to it.
Same here. Thanks for your time. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Ziv. Take care.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Pretty unique property, plenty of potential for all sorts of purposes there, I thought. If you'd like more info on it, or to schedule a viewing, or otherwise make an inquiry, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. We'll be more than happy to put you in touch. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening, and we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.